We have been studying about when God called us to do His will, and we have looked upon some examples from the Old Testament, and it was Ezekiel, and we reflect upon the calling of the disciples. And today we are gonna spend some time reflecting upon Jesus as a model of ministry. And our passage today is some verses from the book of Matthew. So I invite you to open your Bible from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Our text this evening is, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Let's spend a moment in silence and pray. Lord, you call us all to do your will. And as we read this evening, Father, help us. Help us to hear your voice. Forgive our sins, because we are sinners and we don't deserve to be before you, but we come because of our Lord Jesus. So, Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to understand your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Last week we read a few verses from the Gospel of John. And it says that if we read the Gospel of John, it's about the person of Jesus. Chapter 1 to the last chapter, if we read the Gospel of John, some people say that they have received Jesus just by reading it. Matthew's Gospel is mainly topical. Much of his material is grouped under certain subjects: Jesus, the great Galilean ministry, and how he preached and teach. And chapters 8 and chapter 9 of the Matthew's Gospel record representative episodes in the life and ministry of Jesus during the early part of the Galilean ministry. So this is what we are reading today. And Jesus he was busy, and I think he was a person, he was working all the time, undergo. And in chapters 8 and 9, we see Jesus doing many things. So I invite you I'm going to read to you, what is it, you know, in chapter 8 and 9, we see Jesus healing a leper, healing the centurion's servant, healing the mother-in-law of Simon Peter, and casting out demons from those who were possessed with them, while he was at rest in a boat, just having a break. A mighty storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus went onto the other side of the Jordan and healed a paralyzed man. And he carries on, he called a man named Matthew to follow him. He healed a woman who had a problem for 12 years. And he healed the daughter of one of the rulers of the city. Two blind men followed him, and he healed them. He cast demons out of a mute man. Everything he did was to help people mentally, physically, and spiritually. This is Jesus, busy. But the close of chapter 9 gives us a summary of everything Jesus did. He engaged on a threefold ministry: teaching, preaching, and healing. And Tonight, I invite you just, we are going to reflect upon how he works. Because he called us to serve him. And these verses bring to us this threefold picture of Jesus as he viewed the multitudes. He have compassion. He have compassion on them. The Lord Jesus saw the multitudes and he have compassion. And the first thing he saw is that he saw confusion. If any people on the world were confused, were the Israelites. They have been in bondage of the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and now Romans. And they were confused. They wanted to be free. They wanted to enjoy freedom. They were confused. And then, during the time of Jesus, I read a book years ago called Jesus, and I saw the book in one charity shop, and they said, oh, Jesus, and I took it, and then I realized I was a scholar, an atheist, trying to make her point, she's from Australia, that in the time of Jesus, she counted 200 people who claimed to be the Messiah. So can you imagine, they were confused. Acts chapter 5, verses 36 and 37 tell us of two leaders who were there and deceived people. You can read that. And now they have come and they were confused. That is what Jesus saw. What moved this pity? Well, the multitudes were fainted. They were angry. They were weary. And they said they didn't like the Romans. They wanted a savior. They want a general to conquer. And the religion hasn't helped. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, they have all these rules and regulations, their liturgies. We too live in a day when it's difficult to know the real issues of our national life. Brexit is there. We don't know what will happen with the economy. One party is in power, the other one wanted now, and the military, we are confused as well. Some feel that we should seek peace by preparing a strong defense against possible aggressions. Others believe we should disarm completely and immediately, and that show others our good faith. Economically, we are in a state of confusion. But the problem is, when I love talking to elderly people, okay? Well, people who have more experience than me. We senior citizens. And the message that comes, I remember sitting with Chris. He died when he was 97. He was a war hero. He has MBE and the message I got from Chris is that now they said we were poor, Freddie, and we struggled. Now we have more. But people want more. We are rich. And we want more. Confusion. It is true. More anxiety. The problem is as well, somebody put it like this, convictions that we have held as necessary to life itself have been given up in favor of a permissive approach that justifies anything. The black and white distinctions have faded, and we have a big gray area. This is not wrong anymore. Oh no, do you see? It's confusion. There is confusion. And this was what happened in Jesus' time. And it's happening to us as well. So the first thing Jesus saw is confusion. The second is that they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That is what the text says. In the Old Testament we read, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. People who have walked away from God are comparing the Bible as a lost sheep. They need the care of a shepherd to bring them back. But in our passage, we read, the workers are few. The workers are few. Many will not have a shepherd to guide them back to the great shepherd, someone to minister them. Or maybe they have a shepherd, but we have shepherds who tell, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. And that was Matthew said later about in the later, in the last days, there will be people who will, the false teachers will say, that's okay. Jesus saw them, and he invited us to be good shepherds to people. But Jesus saw confusion, but he felt compassion. As Jesus viewed the multitudes, he saw the people struggling. The word, the Greek word means suffering within. The Greek verb means suffer inside. Very literally, the declaration is that his bowels were moved within him. The Greek understanding is that the bowels were regarded as the seat of violent passions such as anger or love. It was there. Jesus felt it here. But the Hebrew understanding is that the bowels were regarded as the seat of tender affections. Something there. Today we'll say that it's in their heart. But Jesus says that the Bible said that he felt compassion. He felt compassion for the people. Did you notice that the scripture didn't say when he saw the crowds, he felt commitment towards them? He wanted to serve them? He felt compassion. Now, if, for example, with my wife, I can be committed to my wife for life. But if I don't have love and compassion towards her, the only thing I have is a contract. I have compassion for her. I love her. And I hope she has compassion for me. I can be committed to you as a pastor. But if I don't care and I don't pray for you, because I really love you, I will be a professional pastor. One of the tragedies of our days is that we walk on the streets, in towns and cities, we see people that we don't have compassion. You know what is the compassion? That they need a savior. They need a savior. This morning we read that Jesus Christ was born for what? To save people from their sins. Jesus was not born to make us nicer, to save us from our sins. It is only the compassionate love of Christ in us that can motivate us for effective Christian service. Jesus not only loved people, but he also believed in them. You know, when the crowd will see Matthew, he was just a tax collector, despised. He was a traitor to his nation. But Jesus saw the confusion in Matthew. He felt compassion and he said, come on. He saw something in her, in him, even if people didn't. My friends, when God calls us to do his will, we show them compassion when we share the gospel. Not when we are nice people. When I was working in the Navy, about 3 years, I served in a transporter. And I was in the engineering room. I was just only, I think, petty officer or something. And so I didn't have so much ranking. And I used to work in the lower deck, so we have 1, 2, 3 in the generator thing. I was on duty, and sometimes when I was off, sorry, I'm going to take this one, and Is that okay? Where is it? Who is it? Who is this guitar? The guitar. I want to take it. Sorry, Mike. And I used to take my guitar when we were traveling 3 months or something. And I used to go to the lower deck, nobody can see me, and prepare songs. And there was a particular guy. He was a master chief. Can you imagine? So he had some power over me. And in those days, I wasn't a master chief. So, and he made my life impossible. So, and because every time I will have compassion on this guy and I will share the gospel. So one day I was in the lower deck with my guitar. I was off duty and playing. I hope nobody hear me. And guess what? This guy has a bucket of cold water and throw it from the upper deck. And I love my guitar. That's the reason why I was asking my... No. I know you love your guitar. You understand my love for my guitar. Cold water. I want to kill the guy. My flesh would say. My officer was there, some of the, because I was, they were expecting my reaction. I left my guitar and I ran to where he was. And everyone was like, and as I was walking, for some reason in my mind, I said, Freddie, calm down. They knew me. They knew my character. And I arrived face to face with this master chief. You know what I said? One day, I was furious. One day, you will be preaching like me. You will be serving the Lord, and you will have to endure what I'm enduring today. The guy was, that was the last time he, you know, and I ran back to get my guitar, and 3 years later, I was on another ship, leaving my barracks, and then and suddenly I heard that door opening on top, and I saw his face. You know what was my first reaction? Freddy, when I heard his voice, wait a minute, that's not the same guy. Going on. And he started crying. I received the Lord 4 weeks ago. I need your help. And I took him to visit, I think, the senior Baptist minister in town. And he's now an Assembly of God, a minister. He's serving. So he knows. What I'm trying to tell you, I felt compassion for this guy. I could have punched his face. And believe me, you know Magnus, you know somebody. That was an expensive guitar they want. It cost me a lot. We need to share the gospel. Regardless. And the Lord will honor. And I'm glad I was able to control my anger. I could have punched him, I could have shouted at him, I could have, for some reason something told me what to say. I just say it. Finally, going back to Matthew was called, Jesus saw something on him. To be honest, I didn't see anything on this man that afternoon. But Jesus gave a commission. One thing that we must never forget is that we are to do something. You know, impression without expression leads to depression. Somebody says that. That's not me, you know. Impression, you know. So we love the Lord. We are to do something. Because we will, otherwise we will be depressed. Because we hold it. Jesus pointed to his, you know, later we read about how he called the disciples. The opportunities are there. And now being moved with compassion may mean stepping out of our comfort zones. You know, we have to do something. Oh, we don't know how we're gonna, what we are gonna do. We need help for the Sunday school. We need help for the youth work. We need help to spread the good news here in Bangor. You need to step out of your comfort zone. We need to step out of our comfort zones. But first of all, what was the situation? Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Shall we say it together? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Sometimes we see workers in our church, they look like octopus. They do this, they do that, they do that. They look like super deacons, super members, super ministers. They do everything. We need help. And Jesus says, you know what is the first thing we are to do? He said here, what is the commission? Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. He knows it. He cares more than us about it. We have a prayer meeting on Tuesday. Let's ask the Lord of the harvest. In our previous church, we have no musicians. We only have one piano. And I said, we need musicians here. We are going to pray. I said, I've been sitting and playing the piano and preaching and all that. I don't mind, but I'm getting older, I said. And we start praying for musicians. At some point, when God bless us so much, we have like a two or three groups. We need to ask the Lord of the harvest. He called us to do his will. We have to ask the Lord of the harvest. Come, let's pray together. Matthew Henry says, when things look discouraging, we should pray more. And then we should complain and fear less. Things are getting tough. Let's pray more. Let's pray more and we should complain less. And fear less. Jesus realized that if people will pray sincerely concerning a need, they will eventually offer themselves to meet that need. It is quite significant in the next chapter. I said, all the 12 are called. My friends, the harvest is ready. And all of us have something to do. And our duty is to see, to be alert, what's going on. And have compassion for people. Even if your children don't want to talk to you because you want to share with them the gospel, pray for them. Share the gospel. Your friends, like this Master Chief, are making your life difficult, pray for them. Share the gospel. Leave it to the Lord of the harvest. And you know what? He will perform the miracles. There was a report. You know, somebody said the people of this world are more ready to receive the good news than the church is ready to give it. People there are ready. But sometimes we churches, we are not. We try to be nice. That's it. No, we are to share the good news. There was a report in the 90s, I think, in America. And the question was, how do you come to know the Lord? And this was the result. 0.001%, it was because of TV or crusade. 1 to 2%, they call it cold turkey evangelism. It's a kind of just people going there and preaching the gospel. 1 to 2%. A church program, you know, Sunday school, or youth work, 2 to 4%. 3 to 6% Sunday school. 4 to 6% people just walking into churches. 6 to 8% because they have a good speaker. But 74% were friends and relatives. Years ago, we have these questions. When I was younger, in the 80s, the young people in the Baptist churches in Ecuador, we asked ourselves this question: how much do you really care about people? And we realized that we were trying to rely on crusades and church programs. And then we realized they were simple. So if somebody was working in a hospital, that was their front line. And they were inviting friends. Friends. They will not call the minister to come or the deacon. No, they will invite their friends. And they say, don't preach to them, just invite them. And then if they were working in a law firm, or they were working like me, I was working in the forces, that was my front line, and I was inviting people. And I made myself the promise to bring every single friend to the church. Maybe I would have the excuse of meal or whatever. And my duty was to bring them. Because that was my harvest. That was my field. And then people were bringing, those who were journalists, they were bringing people from the newspapers or TV. It was an explosion. You need to invite those. You know why? Because the harvest is ready. And there are different ways to serve the same Lord, says 1 Corinthians. And we can each do different things. Yet the same Lord works in all us and help us in everything we do. The one who preach here will be different. The one who minister there will be different. The one who minister there will be different. But we need to do it. As I conclude today, I have this picture. Let me explain to you this picture. Every time we used to go, this is the way we travel. It's Cecilia, myself, and it's Allison, Brian, and Ashley. That's the back seat. That photo was taken that year when Brian was in university and Allison as well was finishing. So poor Ashley was left on her own. So she, one day, I just saw it. We have a WhatsApp just for the family. So we send pictures. And this is Ashley sitting there, taking a picture and saying, when you start to feel lonely. And it got me thinking. They used to fight a lot. And I thought she was going to be happy that they had left. And actually, she was really sad. But it got me thinking that was what moved me, the compassion I had for my friends, because the judgment is coming. Jesus is coming. And I don't want to feel lonely. I want to see my best mate. I pray for my best friend. He used to be a deacon in the church, and he's not coming to church anymore. I want to see him in heaven. And every time I said, hey, come on, mate. He's my best friend. I want to see my family. And I have compassion for them, so I share the gospel. I don't want to feel lonely. What about you? Sometimes sharing the gospel makes you feel bad because your friends don't want to talk to you. or your children, or your grandchildren. Pray for them. The Lord will answer that prayer. The harvest is plenty. We must pray first to the Lord of the harvest that He will send us forth. What will be our answer? Are we ready to teach, to preach, to bring healing to people? Only Jesus can change our lives. My father used to say, people need to change their heart. So every time you preach, preach the word. The word will change people's heart. The harvest is ready, Penrod Baptist Church. Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I say, here I am. Send me. Are we ready to say, here I am, send me, Lord? May the Lord help us to learn from His model. Be aware what's going on. Let's have compassion for people. Hey, just share the gospel. Don't be afraid. The Lord will honor your faithfulness. But our duty is to ask the Lord of the harvest that perhaps it will not be you, but He will send somebody to do His will. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Matthew left everything and followed the Lord. May the Lord help us to do as well. Let's pray before we finish. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those family members who are not your children. And tonight, we pray that you could help us to have compassion on them. Help us, Lord, to preach the gospel with our example, because sometimes perhaps it's us that we have not been faithful to you. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. But help us to have compassion for them and share the gospel. Father, help us to pray as a church, seeking your direction, not our direction, but your direction. Because the harvest is ready. So, Father, we pray that you could send the workers. And if we are the ones who are being called, Father, help us to say, here I am. Send me. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you could help us to have compassion for people and share the good news of your love and mercy. Amen.